Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima and the meaning of Fatima for the 20th century. Last program, we spoke about the relevance of Fatima to Portugal. Remember that probably was Fatima that avoided a civil war like we had in Spain, in neighboring Spain. There was a civil war when the communists won the elections, and then they start to martyrize many priests, bishops, nuns, and so forth, and then the other forces have to conquer, and which was the fascism. Francisco Franco took over, they had, like Portugal, around 50 years of fascism. But that was avoided probably because Fatima intervened precisely in the year where processions were forbidden, religious orders were extinct, the Jesuits were expelled, and so many other things. The bells of the churches would not ring. And that's the situation we had in Portugal on 1917 when Our Lady appeared. So probably I would say mysteriously that Fatima avoided the bloodshed that happened in Spain in that war. So Fatima is not just for Fatima or just for Portugal. It was for the whole world, especially for the whole world because of what Russia did after, but especially for Europe. So what is the relevance of Fatima for the rest of the world apart from Portugal? Let us remind ourselves that it was said by a theologian that Fatima is the most politic apparition of Our Blessed Mother. And for that part, it's mostly in the apparition of July. So in July 13 is when it's the hardest apparition for the little children. They didn't understand many things, and all the secrets came there in that apparition. The other apparitions before were just a preparation for this one. In that apparition, so Our Lady said, if my wishes are fulfilled, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, then Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, bringing new wars and persecution of the Church. The good will be martyred, and the Holy Father will have much to suffer. Certain nations will be annihilated, but in the end my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she will be converted. and the world will enjoy a period of peace. In Portugal, the faith will always be preserved. Well, I like this last sentence again for the relevance of Fatima to Portugal is that you remember we read it not long ago on a Sunday when this mysterious sentence in the Gospel of Luke, when the Son of Man returns to earth, will he still find faith on earth? And that's an enigma. It could happen that when he comes, he doesn't find any more Christians, because the faith should. We are the month of October is not just the month of the Rosary; it's also the month of the missions. And there are two sorts of missionaries. The ones that bring the good news to all the other countries where Jesus is not known yet. But there are the missionaries of time, those that I consider the ones that bring Jesus to other countries are the missionaries of space. But then there are the missionaries of time, the ones that bring Jesus from one generation to the next generation. And those are married people. Those are the parents that have kids. They give them life. They should give them also the faith to live that life. It's just like having a computer without the working system, Windows or Apple. The computer cannot do anything without programs inside. So hardware without software is nothing. You see, it's just like body and soul. We are a body, but we have a soul, and we have to take care of the soul too. So a computer has hardware and software. The software is the soul of the computer. It's digital, and they see it's virtual because you have images, but you go inside the computer, you don't see the image. It's all in a digital form. The same for sound and everything. So the software, it's important. And the software is something that exists and you can't see. Because if you see it concretely, it comes just in ones and zeros and nothing else. But so, will he find faith on earth? Well, it depends on the parents that they pass on to their kids their faith. If they don't pass in on to their kids, then little by little, it's going to be extinct, and that will come one day that the Bible is just a library book, a book that is in the library. That somebody might read it, but since there is no Christian community, he doesn't put it in practice, he doesn't live up to it, because there is no Christian community. The Bible was born of a Christian community, and if the Christian community dies out, the Bible dies too. It will be just a book in a shelf, in a library. So will he find faith on earth? Well, in as far as Portugal, he will. We have the promise of Our Lady of Fatima that said, in Portugal, the faith will always be preserved. Okay, so I don't know about the rest of the world, but in Fatima, in Portugal, the faith will always be preserved. So in as far as Portugal, that enigma, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Yes, he will, at least in Portugal. I don't know about the rest of the world. So the 20th century was, without a shadow of doubt, the bloodiest century in human history. The God of Israel, who saw the suffering of his people enslaved in Egypt, could not contemplate so many horrors. There were not many suffering in Egypt. There were 5 million And the God of Israel contemplated 5 million Jews that were exterminated in the concentration camps. So they were certainly many more than all the Hebrews that were in Egypt at the time of Moses. So, but God could not see this unperturbed. God is not a bystander. So at the time he sent Moses, at this time he sends Mary, the one who since the wedding feast of Cana has been attentive to the needs of his people. And since the visitation to her cousin Elizabeth has never ceased to visit her children. So at the time of the slavery in Egypt, Moses was sent, I would say, at the time of this First World War, Second World War, extermination of the Jews in concentration camps, and Russia and the dissemination of materialism and militant atheism, the persecution of the church, all these problems that we had in the 20th century, plus other wars like the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and also the Balkans War just at the end of the century. It was really a bloody century, and the actions come out of ideologies, because conversion means metanoia in Greek. When we convert, we change our mind. Converting is changing your mind, and so we had all this blood because we had the mind was perverted. The mind was full of nihilism, atheism, fascism, communism in as far as atheism, and all these ideologies, all these wrong ideologies. Communism too as a wrong ideology in as much as it became a dictatorship and took freedom away from people. So all these ideologies, they were wrong, and they could only breed violence. They could only breed violence, and that's what we saw. That's what we saw in the 20th century, violence because of these ideologies. Nazism, racism. Nazism is a sort of racism, and so all these. The 20th century, and there had to be an apparition. If our Blessed Mother was concerned with the wedding at Cana, that people didn't have wine, and that's nothing, that's peanuts comparing to what the 20th century was. So it came as Moses, the big Moses of the 20th century, is Our Lady of Fatima, to save the world from a third war that would be probably the last war, because it would be a nuclear war. In the 20th century, in this very same 20th century, we saw what a nuclear catastrophe can be, with the two bombs that the Americans, we must not forget, that the only ones that have used irresponsibly these new sort of bombs so far were the Americans. This is history that should be remembered. And so they used it in Hiroshima, in Nagasaki, and they killed many people, and there are still people suffering. There are still people suffering from those atomic bombs, because of the nuclear, because of the radioactivity that came into people. So This is the 20th century, and Fatima was an answer to this. So Fatima shall ask the Holy Father to consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart. In the text it says the Holy Father will consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart. Well, does it as a fait accompli. And so the Holy Father, since Pius the 12th, since already Pius the 12th, they thought about it. And so in a way, the little shepherds, the ignorant shepherds, they were commanding the Holy Father to do something, because Our Lady of Fatima told them to do so. And if they believe that Our Lady of Fatima did indeed appear, then they should heed her commands. And so let us talk about that after a small pause. So of all the requests that Our Lady made to the little shepherds, this was without a doubt the thorniest. From Pope Pius XII on the 31st of October 1942, that was the first consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, to Pope Francis, that did it on the 13th of October 2013. There have been already 7 attempts to consummate this request. Now, I know that there is some people that say that Russia was not yet consecrated, but we better stay with Lucia. There have been many subterfuges in this consecration to somehow imply that Russia was being consecrated without ever naming her directly, for obvious diplomatic and ecumenical reasons. José Millases, in his book The Message of Fatima in Russia, states that an image of Our Lady of Fatima was even secretly taken to the Red Square on 1970 in one of the consecrations. Now, Sister Lucia came so far as to protest, saying, of all the consecrations that were not accepted, as Sister Lucia said, she would protest, saying, in the act of dedication on the 13th of May 1982, and that was Pope John Paul II, Russia did not appear to be the object of the consecration. And she continued to say, the consecration of Russia was not carried out as Our Lady requested. Can you imagine a kid? Well, this time she was not a kid anymore, in the 80s, She must be in her 60s already. But she telling the Pope, well, you did consecrate Russia, but it was not accepted because you never mentioned the country. You never mentioned the name of the country, not even by far. So you see, the task of Sister Lucia as being the guardian of the message of Fatima, and to make sure that the prophecies that were prophesied by Our Lady of Fatima on 1917 would become a reality throughout the 20th century, and she was there as a witness. She, Lucia, the other two were taken by Our Blessed Mother very soon, but she was to remain to see, to witness that the prophecies would become truth. To witness that the prophecies would become truth. She herself witnessed to that and gave witness to everybody. And that there was this request. There was this request. It was a request and a prophecy, because Our Lady said that the Holy Father will consecrate Russia to my Immaculate Heart. And indeed, it was on the 25th of March, 1984, Pope John Paul II sent for the official image of Our Lady of Fatima from the chapel in Fatima, and for the famous Russian icon of Our Lady of Kazan at the Orthodox Church of the Blue Army, also in Fatima. That was the Our Lady of Kazan, a very important icon, Orthodox icon, that it was there in Fatima. And the Holy Father gave it to Russia. And so it was consecrated. The name Russia was not said, even in 1984, but it was said, enlighten especially the peoples whose consecration and entrustment by us you are waiting. See? Now is more concrete. You are waiting for this consecration and for the consecration of these peoples. Enlighten especially these peoples whose consecration, and these peoples, of course, means Russia. Everybody knew that the consecration was about Russia, so there was no need of mentioning the name Russia, but everybody was waiting on this consecration, that it was about Russia, and it says explicitly, the peoples whose consecration and entrustment you have been waiting. This was the most explicit formula of so many consecrations thus far made, and Sister Lucia finally agreed that Russia had been consecrated as Our Lady had requested. So, just 1 year later, the conversion of Russia took place. Rising to power was Mikhail Gorbachev. He passed away not long ago, some months ago, who launched the perestroika. Perestroika means many things. One of them is reform, conversion. Those are synonyms of perestroika. And so it was indeed a reform in which Russia means precisely Russia stop atheism, militant atheism. Russia stop persecuting the church in Russia. And some countries like Ethiopia that was following Russia closely, they stop persecuting the church and those, the believers of any religion, not China. China continues to this day persecutes the church. Cuba also maybe doesn't persecute as much, but I remember Fidel Castro, he came to instruct Gorbachev that he should go back to militant atheism, but indeed Gorbachev did not listen to him. So the only country probably where church, apart from Muslim countries that persecute Christians, but the whole religion is persecuted, whatever religion is persecuted still in China. So just happened just 1 year later, you see. It happened just 1 year later. Amazingly, that after the consecration, Russia converted. It's not really a conversion because Russia had always been Christian. And atheism never took foot in Russia because Russian people are religious. They are Orthodox. They have been Christians for centuries. Same, it never happened in Africa. Atheism never took a foothold because African people are religious. You know, being religious is part of human nature. Humans are religious by nature. You do have to go ideologically against that tendency of being religious. So it never took foothold, this militant atheism, but killed many people. As I'm told you already, it killed over 30 million people. Over 30 million people were killed by militant atheism. And in as far as Russia, are still killed. There are militant atheism is still killing their people. So just 1 year. And another interesting thing that I told you, but I already spoke about this more concretely in another program. Our Blessed Mother in Fatima says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And indeed, the Soviet Union was dissolved on the 8th of December, December 8th. It's when we celebrate the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And indeed, it triumphed over this empire, this Soviet Union that was not a democratic empire, was not a country, was a pot of countries that were being subjugated by this communism rule. So here we have Cardinal Joachim Meissner, Archbishop of Berlin, until the fall of the wall, said at the time, for me it is obvious that the Soviet Union, the anti-Soviet revolution, started in Fatima with the Virgin and the three children. It's indeed, this is an historical fact. It started in there. Just like the fall of the wall of Jericho. You can see this in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. The power of prayer succeeded where no other earthly power was able, including the military. Now, I must mention another time in history. I said October is the month of the missions, but is also the month of the Rosary. And the Rosary was the prayer that won to us a battle, the Lepanto battle. Christians against the Ottoman Empire was a naval battle in the Mediterranean Sea, close to Greece, in 1571, the 7th of October, 1571, the 7th of October, we celebrate Our Lady of the Rosary, but that feast used to be Our Lady of the Victories. To celebrate the victory, that the Christians had against the Ottoman Empire. You know, the Ottoman Empire took over from the Byzantine Christian Empire in the East, and they were always a threat to Christian Europe. And from Christian Europe was surrounded by Muslims. They came up to Poitiers from the west, and they came up to Austria from the east, to what is Albania now, was belonged to the Ottoman Empire. So it was indeed it was only defeated in the First World War, the Ottoman Empire. But up to there, this Lepanto battle was important because they never attacked the Christian Europe, never again. They never attacked. They just remain an empire, keeping the lands they possessed before, but never pretending to expand towards west, towards the Christians. And so it was an important battle. And that battle, Pope Pius V, he asked the Christians to pray the rosary, to pray the rosary. So it reminds us about Moses when the Jews crossing the desert, they met the Amalekites, and they had to conquer them. They had to conquer them, and there was Moses stretched his arms so that the God would help. And when he had his arms stretched, the Hebrew people were overcoming their enemies. But when the arms went down, the enemies were overcoming the Hebrew people. So based on this, it was Pius V asked for the Christians to pray during the battle. And the Christians were praying the rosary during the battle. And because of the rosary, we won the battle. So the same in Fatima, prayer and penance. Prayer is very important, as the message of Ronald Reagan when he came to Portugal. He also mentioned that prayer is the prayer of people like these three kids that changes the world, and not presidents or armies.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.